Hey everyone, it's Kelly back with another episode of Counseling Practice Success Stories. Today I'm joined with Beth Charbonneau, who is a therapist in Maryland, and she specializes in anxiety, mindfulness, hypnotherapy, and embodiment in her practice. I want to welcome you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How long have you been in practice?
Ooh, a long time. So, I've been basically in private practice since 2004.
Why did you go that route?
Before that, I had been with a large inpatient residential program for about 3 or 4 years, and it was a really great starting point for my career. I learned a ton and it was really hard and exhausting. And I knew that I wanted to be able to have more autonomy over my practice and the clients I see. And so kind of began that journey towards private practice that way.
If you could surmise the journey thus far in just a couple words, how would you describe it?
Winding, unpredictable,
Yes.
surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that is a beautiful, honest reflection because sometimes we get so hooked on, I mean, the title of this, right? This podcast is about success stories. So we want to focus on the success, but when you think about what it takes to get there, whatever that is, and let's be honest, the needle's always moving on it. Like just when you're like, oh, I just wanted to practice with 10 clients. Now I have that. Now I want to practice with this. And then the six definition of success moves, but the path there is winding and unpredictable. How would you define success in your practice today?
My practice feels successful when I feel like it helps take care of me while I take care of my clients and my life, and being able to have something that actually creates a sustainable life for me while I can do good work. That feels successful for me.
Yeah. What would you say sustainable looks like for you?
Being able to have some semblance of work-life balance, being able to feel like I know where my finances are at and that I'm able to pay my bills and kind of create the life that I need for my family. So that feels like a sustainable life for me, and one that I don't feel like, well, I'm just kind of barely hanging on month to month, either, financially or energy wise.
Was there a time when you felt that way?
Absolutely. A number of times along the journey, that winding path. But yeah, and that's part of what was so kind of important for me in terms of getting started with the business school is needing to jumpstart some change on that process.
When did you, I mean, what were some of the signs that this practice wasn't working for you?
I was really exhausted and feeling very burned out, seeing too many clients to reasonably feel like I was taking good care of myself. I didn't feel like I had a handle on what my business was doing. I didn't feel like I could take time off when I was sick if I needed to. And that, it was also kind of when inflation was really kind of ramping up and felt like, I was working more and more and, having a smaller and smaller paycheck that was going, even, less far for my family. So all of it felt like it was really time for something to change.
How did that impact your clinical work, do you think?
It certainly didn't help it. I was seeing more clients than I probably felt like I could be my best self for. And so I didn't have a lot of extra time to devote to improving clinical skills, kind of continuing to rely on what I knew already, but I didn't have time to kind of really delve deeper into a lot of things. So yeah, I'm finding that it wasn't serving me in that area as well.
Did it show up any ways for you physically, mentally, emotionally?
Sure, getting burned out, I'm exhausted and feeling like I don't really have the energy, even if I do have some downtime to do anything. Just not enjoying my work as much, not enjoying much of it, anything as much, just because I was so exhausted. And like I said, getting to that point of not being able to take time off when I needed it when I was sick, and that was a real low point.
Yeah. When you come from a place of exhaustion, see, this is an interesting thing that I think a lot of people come to us with, right? I'm so exhausted and there's things I need to do to fix things, but I'm so exhausted, right? What did you do with that space?
It was a dig deep moment. It was just really kind of coming to a decision point that if I was going to make some substantial changes, it was going to require a big lift of time and energy, and that I was going to have to kind of pull it from somewhere and get to at least a breathing point before I could really kind of let up on it. And it was a big lift. I put in a serious amount of extra time and energy for probably a good 6 months or more.
What supported you in that lift? Because I think, right, there's the internal drive, but then it's also the external support in order to do it. So, did you have external support to help you through?
I started working on the business school materials a couple of weeks before, like 3 weeks before our working session, fall
Oh,
of
I remember that.
2020,
Yeah, I remember us
not
talking
2020,
about it.
2022. And so I started a few weeks before that, and so the working session really kind of gave a lot of structure and momentum to kind of give a big push for a while. And while I was in the working session, I got an accountability buddy. And we were in a very similar place in terms of our commitment and our practices. And we made a pact that we were going to stick like glue, and we were going to meet every single 2 weeks. And we came up with goals and measurements every 2 weeks. And we held each other accountable and texted each other when it was like, I can't do this. And that was really kind of the most essential part of kind of having that support for that big push of time.
Yeah, there's something about not doing things alone.
Oh,
And there's also
absolutely.
that, like, when you're so exhausted, creating that internal accountability is not necessarily the first thing. It might be having external accountability, to support until you can regain the energy within yourself to hold some accountability for you.
Exactly. Because I was gonna be doing it because I was gonna show up for this phone call in 2 weeks, even if, I would have put it off for myself. So.
It's funny how we can show up for other people more than we can for ourselves at first sometimes.
Yeah, but being able to leverage that through a buddy really worked its magic. So that was essential for kind of getting through that really kind of dig deep phase.
What are some things you feel like were key to you shifting in order to pull you out of the exhaustion, the burnout, the overworking?
I got in some ways I got forced into some of it. In December of 2022 is when I got COVID for the first time. And that was when I got real sick. And I was forced to rest, and I didn't feel like I could take as much time off as I needed to, but there was no way I could absolutely push everything at that point. I was absolutely forced to stop, and just sleep. So there was that. And then, just being able to try to start chipping away at things that I knew would be restorative that I'd been putting off for a long time, like trying to like make space. The one of the practices in the business school process about being able to visualize an ideal day kind of gave me some ideas about like, oh yeah, this is what I would really like to be doing in my day to day life. And so trying to bring some of those things in piece by piece, even when there wasn't a lot of time for it, just starting to see some of it kind of get seeded into there, into my weekly life.
Yeah, I think there's something about sometimes we think like I can have peace when I have XYZ done, or it'll all be better when these projects are completed. And for those of you who are listening, part of the process of pulling yourself out of burnout is reclaiming your sovereignty to create in the moment with what you currently have, right? Like making room for whatever practice, care, connection that needs to be had so that you don't have to wait for better, that can happen even in the current context of the pain, the hardship, the struggle, the exhaustion. How did you figure out what to prioritize in terms of what to shift within the business? You know, if we're looking at the financials, the marketing, the structure, the schedule, all those things, like where did you go to start finding healing in the business?
I ceded control basically to y'all. I decided I was going to not put my ideas of what I thought was right. I wasn't going to skip around. I was going to go in order. I was going to assume that what I had done so far wasn't working. So I was just going to listen to you. And I would do the things that you told me to do, even if I didn't think they were necessary or didn't want to do them, which was good, which was really good, you know. So it held me to a structure that I could just follow. And I'd say, okay, well, I don't want to do this part next, but this is the part I'm doing next. And so this is what I would do.
Well, for people that are listening who may not know what that structure is, a lot of the times we start out with the vision, the perfect day to inform like where you're headed and what we want to create around. We have to have an idea. And then from there, we want to fix some of the, I don't like saying fix, but like transition some of the current business practices and processes into something that's more streamlined, eliminate, delegate. You know, execute on things with what you currently have, what needs to shift before you go and expand your marketing. Because we don't want to market to something that isn't working for you. And then from those processes and stuff, then you can get clear about the financials, money before the marketing. And then you move into knowing who you want to work with, how to talk to them, the marketing aspect, the website, the SEO, and all of that. That's kind of the general roadmap. Did you find that that was kind of your path as well?
It was. I sometimes we kind of like get the big parts of all of those kind of headlines first, and then sometimes move to the next part to start getting those big parts going, and then go back and kind of refine the bits as I went along.
When Do you feel like, how do you feel burnout is in our field currently? Like the exhaustion and stuff, what do you see amongst colleagues and peers?
Rough. It's rough, you know, with colleagues that are in all kinds of configurations of practice. That yeah, it is not easy. It's a hard job. You know, even taking out the business aspect of it, you know, it's a demanding job, and then add in all of the business parts of it. It's hard. It's hard to be a business owner. It's hard to be a mental health professional.
What do you think you want those people to know that you think would help them?
It's a real necessity to have to kind of get clear on what we each individually need in order to be our best selves for our life, not just our work. And that there's nobody out there who's going to give it to us or make it happen for us or tell us what to do. And it's really an inside job.
I think a lot of people are surprised by that sometimes, that owning a business is an inside process. And it feels like it's just, oh, a checklist, I do these things, but it really is your largest personal development course, I think, that I've ever been through personally.
It's a lot.
What are you most proud of?
That's a good question. Well, I recently signed my very first lease all by myself. So I had been subleasing. I've been in practice for a long time, and I've subleased space forever and ever. And just this last spring, I signed my very first lease all on my own. It felt very grown up, and it was a process. There were a lot of bureaucratic hoops to jump through that I did not anticipate. And so I'm really proud of it. I love my little space. It's really lovely, and it felt really good to feel like, oh, I'm really solid and in a place where I can do this. So I love looking around at my little four walls in there and saying, oh, no, I made this.
And what do you hold for the future for yourself and your practice?
Working on work-life balance, still working on it. So
Yeah.
finding more refinement in that as I go along. The life part also includes family life at this point, so that creates a lot of time demand. So kind of finding my way through that. I'm about to launch a teenager and off to college in another year, so kind of like seeing how work-life balance might change as I become an empty nester. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that transition shake out.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, right? Is that the business is going to adapt according to your needs. And so, with different phases of life, different circumstances, it's going to look different. And I never have found much of a plateau, much of a like, oh, let's just hang out here with what we've created. Like, as soon as I get real comfortable, somebody shifts again. And that malleability, that curiosity, that's kind of like what I love about you, Beth, is like that, what could that look like? I'm curious, right? That curiosity is so much of a skill and an asset to how easeful this process can be compared to like when we're like, it's gotta be this way, it's gotta fit in, and this is what it should look like. And instead being more curious will allow for the nuance and for your life to show you what it needs. Like you're paying more attention to deeper attunement than trying to fit in some sort of prescriptive way of doing your business and your life based on this phase, this circumstance.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
for people who are in their practices or wanting to start a practice, and they feel very overwhelmed, what advice do you have for them?
Get help. Get support. Talk to people who know what they're doing. I tried to DIY being a business owner for like more than a decade, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, you don't know what you don't know. And if you can get help and support from people who've been down the road and have a lot of great ideas for you, it's going to go a lot easier.
Why do you think it took, a decade to like get help for you?
I don't think I really thought of myself as much as a business owner for so long. I really kind of thought of my work as kind of a vocational calling. And the way that my practice was structured for so long was based around insurance reimbursement, and things kind of had their own flow in that way, and I didn't know how to make it different than that, so I just kind of kept doing what I was doing. And it was enough to kind of keep going. And so just kind of not having even kind of like embraced the idea that I was a business owner kind of probably stopped me from moving it down the field very far.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your story, for the little lessons along the way. I'm really proud of you. I remember when we first met and you had just like started and you're like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of information. What is happening? But your persistence has paid off, and your vulnerability, I think, is a huge part of that, of being open to support and asking for help and posting questions and, having your buddy, that you've committed to. And it's a testament of how you create and how beautiful your creation can be when you put your whole heart into it and you honor yourself through the process. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you. I'm excited to see where things go next.
Yeah. For those of you that want to check out Beth, we'll link her website below. She does a lot of cool things with embodied healing and coaching and therapy. So if you feel inspired by this, we'd love for you to check out more of our free resources at zinnyme.com/free. And maybe check out our business school too. It's an amazing program. We've helped thousands of therapists, and we'd love to help you. Until next time, take care.